Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Joe D calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Even!
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, that was a good happy way to start the show.
We're doing it the Motormouth Radio way today.
Yes.
On Long Island's only automotive talk show.
That's us.
Motormouth Radio with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman, and
the other guy.
Father-at-large, Joe D.
Large father, yes.
He's yeah, man.
I just realized one reason why I'm a lot heavier, because I don't play an instrument anymore, so I don't move. I stand still or I sit and whatever, and I get no exercise. That it's highly aerobic to actually play an instrument, especially in a dance situation.
I tell you, the way you're jumping around the studio is pretty aerobic.
By the way, we're gonna need a new cord on this here headset.
And you know,
I
tell you, James Dewar, bass player and vocal for Robin Trower for a long time. Dewar and his drummate, of course, Reg Isidore. They came from a band called what the heck was his name? It was a one name band. I forget. That's where Trower left Procol Harum. They formed and started this band, which was fantastic. So anyway, you can call and get a hold of us today and talk about your automotive stuff at 516-572-7440.
Yep.
Follow us on MotormouthRadio.com or Motormouth Radio on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes.
And we're also on Instagram, Joe.
Real_
Motormouth Radio.
Friggin' underscore.
Right. Well, yeah, I know.
I got the hang of that finally.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Now it's just trying to do that stuff with greasy fingers on a phone.
Oh.
It's just not easy to do.
I clean my phone now. I use actually lens cleaning solution and lens tissue, because it's, you know, you're in the shop and I try not to interact, but you know, you got to look at it because it could be family, it could be something.
Right.
Know, that you got to deal with. And then sometimes you're just like, oh my God, you know, it's like, ugh.
And I was trying to use the, you know, the voice assistant on from Siri there, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I can't understand your accent.
Really?
And what was that word that ended with wad?
Yeah, she doesn't.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, Siri doesn't get like New Yorkese.
Yeah, seriously.
That's a problem.
The New York accent. Oh, that bagel?
Yeah.
Oh, that was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, to see how they actually made him, and just the flashback, because that was like 1979 or something.
Five.
Yeah. Okay. And just seeing 1970s New York with like New York people around, and that was really great. And
yes,
it ended with bagels.
What Joe's referring to is a good friend sent me this video. I'd seen it before. It was a little documentary of making bagels in New York circa 1975, someplace in this. It was either Brooklyn or the city, I guess.
Brooklyn, yeah.
And you could see the people and the sights and the cars and all of this. And if you want to see it, send an email to motormouthradio@ncc.edu, and I'll send it to you. What the heck? We'll just get it out to you. We'll make sure you can see it, too. But we will go to the phones to see who's on with us. We'll do this and say, hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, this is Dan Shore. Don't put me on the air. I'm just calling early just to mention something.
Well, hi, Dan. Too late. Live. You're on the air. This number, you go live to air.
So, I go live to air the second I call.
And, yep. Well, yeah, when we pick up the phone, because we don't have a we're sitting here with a board and a microphone, and we're on the show. So when we pick up the phone, we're live.
Yeah. So it's okay.
Okay. Well, I needed to tell you something in private, so I probably shouldn't do it on the air if we're on the air.
Send me a text. You have my cell phone number.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, we'll try. Thank you.
Okay. No problem. Thanks, Dan.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we'll talk to Dan again in a couple of minutes. He'll call us back. We were scheduled for a little while later, but
yeah,
we'll
like
see.
Quarter after 12. Yeah, that's
things
okay.
Happen. Yeah.
Hey, you know what? It's the magic of live radio.
Exactly,
as Chris used to say. You know,
right.
So you never know what's going to happen. Well, at least Dan, being the gentleman that he is, did get on the phone and start with, you know, hey, you know, epithet of, you know.
I know. Thank God for that. You know,
yes, Jim, that was the shortest guest spot ever. Yes.
I want to mention something, Joe. You and I talked about this offline. I just want to throw it out there. We're not going to get in depth, but I kind of came up with the, it's almost like a quiz question. How do you take a job that could take 40 minutes to an hour and turn it into a 3-hour, a 4-hour job?
Make it your own car.
You know the answer. You just do it on your own car, right?
Of course.
That's what happened to me last week when I wanted to simply change an axle in my Mazda. And I had done axles at the shop on Hyundais, Toyotas, Hondas, Mercedes. That all took like between 20 to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
On crash vehicles even.
Right. Pretty straightforward job on most vehicles, yes.
Well, I had pre-lubricated the axle nut because that's the big heavy nut. You know, I hit it with solvent a couple times. Well, the first thing I did was put on the impact gun. Didn't work. So I put my new 3-foot-long, half-inch drive breaker bar on it.
Right.
And felt the bar flex.
Ooh.
And said, okay. So that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm strong, but not that strong.
When the first tool is a long neck axe and it don't work, you're in trouble. So the second tool I used was the flame wrench. I went right to the oxyacetylene torch with the rosebud tip, and I basically heated that thing. And then the breaker bar was able to get it off.
Yeah.
So bottom line, you want an elongated job, just do it on your own car, and you're sure to get screwed.
When in doubt, nuke it.
Yeah, you know what? I saw another thing. I watched a couple of, because now I watch YouTube and stuff on my TV. I got a smart TV. Mm-hmm. TV's smarter than me. It's like my phone. And I saw a couple of different guys who are well-known in the YouTube community. They're not hacks.
Right.
And what they did is ABCD testing on rust-busting solvents.
Right.
And use the common ones. They used Croil. They used
Liquid wrench,
yeah. Which actually came out very high.
PB Blaster.
Yes.
Yeah.
They even used WD-40, although it's not made to bust rusts.
Correct, yeah.
But it still worked well. And they both included, and these guys were independent of each other, also did a homemade mixture of transmission fluid and acetone, which is very popular.
The wrench equivalent of Mother Switzer's.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
But safer.
Mm.
And they
taste better, too.
Yeah. And they used the control with the nuts and bolts, and they used like big half-inch nuts, big stuff, where the nuts and bolts were just rusted and with nothing on them, mm-hmm. You know, so they could see what the difference was. And they came to their conclusions. That's not the point of the story. The point is the second guy, after he did all that and showed you the graphs and all and you know, got his data, he said there's
circles and arrows on the back.
Right. He said, there's one more thing I did that I didn't include in the video that I want to mention now. He says, after all the solvents, I used one more test. And I'm going to tell you about it now. And he picked up a torch head. He goes, I did use a flame wrench. He said, you know what? This is the one that did. All the other ones were like, another application. This one, first shot out of the box.
There's a meme on social media with like a small, you know, with a couple assortment of ratchets. It's like, okay, come off. Okay, please come off. Okay, I'm not kidding.
Yes.
And then finally, all right. And then that last being the flame wrench
I think I've seen that one, yeah. And it's so true. That's why when I had that problem, I said, you know what? There's the torch. Light it. Let's go. Just go right to it. I mean, you have to be careful if you have areas that could be lit on fire, of course. But, well, anyway, the phones.
Fire.
Let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, Ray, it's Al Handy. How are you?
Good,
hey, Al. What's
happy
up,
Father's Day, Al.
Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to you guys. How's everything there besides your axle?
Well, the axle's fixed. It's in the car. That was last week's saga. That's all done. And,
right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's another learning experience. Go for the big guns.
Yeah, exactly. You know, knock on wood, and I'm banging on my head right now, so I haven't had that problem with those axles just yet. Thank God.
Really?
I did have a problem once trying to get the unit bearing off one of the axles when I pulled it out. That was a little tough.
Okay, that's interesting.
And I took one of the cars to the dealer, and they didn't even want to fight it. They just replaced the bearing and the axle at the same time.
Right.
I just got back in from the Hot Rod Power Tour.
Yeah, that's right. You were out there.
It's something you guys should think about for your bucket list item. I think it would be a lot better if I had another couple of hot rods with me to do it, but it was a good experience. I really enjoyed it. Met a lot of people that you see on TV and
things like that. Yeah, definitely.
Pretty cool.
For sure.
Now I got something for Joe. I threw a code on a brand new truck, 3,000 miles.
Right.
Threw a check engine light.
Right.
I have no idea what it was. To get rid of it, to make sure I had no problems getting home, I just did the old battery trick and pulled the negative terminal, waited 5 minutes, put it back on.
We have to talk about that.
And everything went away.
There's a public service announcement about that, but go ahead.
Right. I get home, I put the code reader on it. It's not really a code reader. It's a
Ouija board. Come on, be honest. Magic 8-ball.
Yeah, right, exactly. Nothing was stored in the computer.
Really?
Nothing at all. I was like, that was weird. You know, usually if you do that, you'll have a code either pending or stored or whatever. Nothing. Nice and quiet. Also, the check engine light turned off the MDS, or the multiple displacement system.
Right, okay. Makes sense.
So that didn't turn on at all when the check engine light was on. So it's a mystery. I don't know what it is.
Okay, there's a couple things. First of all, I'm assuming this is one of those code readers that you've bought at the local opposite of Retarded Auto Parts or...
No, actually, I went up a little bit higher than that. I think I paid $400 for this thing. It's not your standard.
And it's updated?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, and you had no, and you had, it said no codes present.
Right, and no stored codes, and no pending codes.
You had a check engine light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen from time to time a lot. Many times it is scanner software. And Chrysler, especially the last couple of years, because they have that secure gateway module there, is like they don't let nobody talk to nobody. So especially if that was, say, a cluster issue. You know what I mean?
Cluster issue, all right.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get out of my head. basically, yeah, you may not have, the check engine light may have illuminated because it saw something else with another system that could be glancingly related to the engine. All right.
Right.
See, normally when I see something like that, what I normally do is I do a code scan. You know, a lot of the scan tools now give you the opportunity. And if you just plug it in and you do it, just talks to every module that it can, which.
Right,
theoretically,
exactly,
should be every module in the vehicle, but especially certain models, you don't get every single one. But what happens is a lot of times another module kind of freaked out the check engine light or the cluster. And what ends up happening there is that it's like the check engine light came on because it didn't like something in the ABS or maybe like the body control system or something like that, which happened to pop that other light on, or you could have lost communication too. Long story short with that, and here comes the public service announcement, especially that's a brandy stinking new truck, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. It had 3,000 miles on it.
Okay. Well, deep within the bowels of its memory, it recorded that event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you probably got rid of it because I tell, especially with newer cars like that, I tell people if it looks like something like that we can't handle because of like lack of tooling or something like that, take it to the dealer. All right. And they can, they have, GM used to call it a failure record. I think Chrysler calls it event data, but it actually took a picture of when it happened. Very detailed that nothing outside of their factory style tool will be able to get into. And they can say, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Oh, this happened. This dropped out, and there's usually like a longer line of of specific proprietary type code. And especially,
right.
The truck ran okay?
Yeah, truck ran fine.
Okay, so I'll bet you dolls to dog meat there's a TSB about it.
Yeah, that could very well be because, you know, of course, everything on the internet is true.
Right,
and I went to one of the local forums, and one guy, this has been at least 15 problems like this on the one website.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's what I mean. As a matter of fact, that's going to be my next public service.
Al,
talking about TSBs.
That's a Dodge truck, correct, Al?
Yeah,
Ram. Dodge Ram, yeah.
They call them Rams now.
Matco Man Brian is asking.
Right. Okay, yeah. And what's even more interesting, which I never knew, you know, you learn something new every day. I'm doing this all this research, there's a code called P1521, which tells you that you may have the incorrect oil in your engine.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of that?
Yes.
I've never heard of that
before. Yes, yes. But we are using the correct oil, aren't we, Al?
Yes, we are.
Okay,
yes,
good.
We are. We're using that synthetic Pennzoil that they recommend.
All right, yeah, good. No, especially Chrysler products, what they do is they actually can monitor the pressure, the pressure change. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And if Chrysler is very funky with their oil pressure, I've seen Chrysler, like an oil pressure switch cause a no start because the ECM is like, oh, you ain't got enough oil pressure. Well, we're not going to let you blow me up. You know,
right.
Shut
and
you right
I've
down.
Seen that also on the forums. I just, you know.
So it sounds like a watch and wait kind of thing.
Right. But now that you erased it.
Yeah. So if it happens again, leave the code, go to a dealer and have them. You know, let them get involved.
Yeah, have them take a look at it. Yeah.
Right.
Interesting stuff.
Brian is saying that no scan is going to get into bi-directional with the 2019.
Right.
They said everybody's having a little bit of an issue with that right now. So.
Yes, they are. They are a flaming pain in the butt. Yes.
Me being me, I go up to the Edelbrock tent and, hey, you got a supercharger for, it's a 2018.
Oh, no. It's a, you know,
guy goes, yeah, he says, but we're having trouble getting into the computer because, now listen to this, Joe, now I didn't know this, I don't know if you know it.
Go ahead.
Chrysler has introduced a rolling code to block people from getting into their system.
Yes.
Wow.
So
yes.
You may defeat one, but the next time you start the truck or car, it's a new thing, and it erases everything just
It's like
did.
A rolling IP.
Exactly.
Right, exactly, yeah.
I didn't figure the Italians were up for that kind of stuff, but go figure. Yeah. No, I mean, the only thing that works on any kind of in-depth level on those is the factory tool. And a friend of mine has that, and basically what it is you plug the dongle into the data link connector. It goes to the shop's Wi-Fi. All right. The shop's Wi-Fi sends it to the internet, where Fiat looks at it and says, "Yeah, okay, you could have talked. It's all right." And then it brings it back to the shop's laptop, which then sends it back to the dongle. So when you hit the key, you know what I mean. You've gone about 17,000 miles around the planet just to say, "Yes, I would like to exit."
Minka.
Yeah, I know.
All right. I tell you what, Al, we're going to have to exit now and take a break. And we have Dan
is waiting a bit.
And Dan is waiting. I'm holding him off. We got to take a break and pay a few bills. And
very good, guys. Thanks.
All right.
Good to hear from you, Al.
Later.
Thanks.
All right.
So long. All right. We are going to take a quick break, Joe, and be back shortly with Dan Short from Phantom Works. He's going to tell us about life after a TV show. His TV show, of course, and we'll have some fun. So now, this was a song requested by Joe for me. So it's from Robin Trower. It's called actually "The Fool in Me" on 90.3 WHBZ.
WHPC is supported by Life's Work. Life's Work has job opportunities available for college students and recent college grads, both full and part-time. These positions are offered to accommodate your class schedule. They offer a generous compensation package, including benefits. Life's Work is a nonprofit agency that supports people with special needs, including intellectual disabilities and autism. Apply today at lifeswork.org. That's Life's Work with a C.org.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to advanced, including private lessons. Lessons are offered on the campuses of Nassau Community College and Suffolk Community College, also offering the license waiver class, where you can skip the DMV. More information about On the Road Again Motorcycle School can be found by calling 631-862-RIDE. That's 631-862-RIDE. Or online at lrn2ride.com.
There's Joe duck walking across the studio. He's on the console. He's on the shop bench. He just jumped over to the freaking CD rack, and he says he can't move. Yeah.
And not to mention, you got to see where this cord ended up.
Oh, yeah. All right. We are back on Motormouth Radio and Long Island's only automotive talk show. And you're going to have to hold your calls because we're going to have Mr. Dan Short from Phantom Works on.
Yeah. Cool.
And we're going to talk to him now. And
yeah, we'll hopefully get him back on here.
That would be nice. And then we'll we're going to see what life after TV is like. So for the Phantom Works, because that was a whole, that's a big thing. I mean, we spoke about that to a few people at length, and it's tough.
Being in a shop, especially a busy, like, successful shop, is a freaking zoo on a normal day under normal conditions. Now you got somebody, you know, running around with cameras up you know what?
Yeah, right.
Here we go. Where's the blinky?
Let's go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Dan. How's it going?
Hi, good morning, what's happening?
You know, I called you a few minutes ago because I was actually hoping to catch you offline and ask you if you had me on some twisted version of I Spy with, like, Alan Funt, that old thing.
Oh, why is that?
Well, let me just tell you about my last 12 hours. It's been rather interesting. I was in Tennessee. We're working on a second location for a shop that will allow us to do a lot more creative things. And I drove back here, arrived last night at 8 o'clock, and this is just going to sound gross, but inexplicably, blood started coming out of my mouth and nose uncontrollably.
Oh my God!
What are you trying for Black Sabbath?
It was just wild, you know.
Wow.
And so I thought to myself, this has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, 8 hours later, early this morning, when it hadn't stopped yet, and I'd lost so much blood, my heart was beating fast. I ran to the emergency room. Turns out, I've got a problem inside my head, and you know they got me taken care of at the ER. And I got home, and I was going to call you and tell you that my voice is going to sound a little funny because I got tubes coming out of my face right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, so this is my Father's Day. And so when I called you and you said, send me a text, so I walked into the sunroom of my house to send you a text, and I get nailed by wasps.
Oh, no.
And so now I'm sort of limping around with tubes coming out of my face. And all I can say is I'm damn glad this is not like one of those video interviews, because I would hear the living crap out of every one of your listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes.
Well, we certainly hope that you
Are you
get
okay?
That behind
yeah,
you.
Right? Yeah,
right. You know, I was just telling Joe a story before the show. I was at we sent a car from the shop down to an exhaust shop the other day, and we went down at the end of the day to check it out because it was a problem. And this guy uses a 4-post ramp lift, and the guy is short. And I'm not tall, but still.
Here we go with the short people stuff.
I had to adjust my stature under the lift, being mindful that it was lower than I would normally have it. And when I went to exit, I did look, and I cleared the first hurdle. Apparently, I didn't clear the second one. I went thud with my head into the lift.
So duck, but no goose.
They heard it. I'm outside the shop, and the guy's like, and everybody's like, are you okay? Of course, now the blood is streaming down my face, makes a right and a left across my nose, dripping on my shirt, and they're all looking like, dude, are you all right? And I'm like, I guess so, yeah. You tell me. I don't
still
know.
Still standing.
You know? So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where's that 10-millimeter sock?
You know, shops are a dangerous place, so.
Yes.
So maybe this week hasn't been a great week for either one of us, but So we're back, and let me explain something. When I show up somewhere one time, if I'm not escorted by police, I'm generally not invited back. So very nice for you guys to actually ask me to come back. That was cool.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, you're of a like mind than us. You know, you're just one of us.
For the few people out there who may not know, you did a little show called Phantom Works, which was wildly popular with the real car guys because you did real car stuff, and we loved it.
Yeah.
And that's why we wanted to touch base with you, and we're interested to see what life is like after TV for you, if things have eased up a bit in the shop.
Well, so I made some changes as a result of leaving the TV show, and I might have mentioned a few of these last time, but we actually went.
We dropped out too.
Yeah. Did one of them tubes come out or something?
That could be. So,
yeah, okay. So we're going to try redialing real quick here, see what happened. It's either that or the black helicopters have, is there some kind of gross standard that we've crossed the line?
I don't know.
Yeah,
don't know.
Because all of a sudden there seems to be no...
Let me let Dan know.
Yes, because I wanted to hear the end of that story for sure.
Yeah, well, that was the... the thing, when TV is such a tough thing to work in.
Yeah, like I was saying, a shop is a madhouse place as it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and then now you've got, I mean, I've only been very on the periphery of showbiz, you know, having my car in a couple of TV shows or movies or whatever. And then what happens is...
Can you imagine if the shops you worked in were shooting TV shows?
I want to put a webcam... In
well,
both those places,
that'll make America's funniest videos, or the
Yeah, I know. Some of them would have to be non-English speaking.
Exactly.
Hey, here we go. Who's this now?
Let's go back and see if we can reconnect with Dan.
Hang on. Are you
okay?
Are you there?
Yes, we're here.
We're back.
I apologize. My wife turned on the car, and my phone went to Bluetooth.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that, I know. Technology is great.
All of a sudden, you were just gone.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal. Yeah, don't you love when the car's smarter than us?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. In that car, it took about 3 months for me to figure out how to turn the Bluetooth on. Now that it's on, you can't turn the damn thing off.
I
so
know.
I'm gonna hopefully switch it off. Are you guys the same way? The phones are smarter than you are these days,
oh,
and you don't
yeah.
know how to do anything with them, hardly?
Absolutely. I was just saying I've been watching YouTube videos on my smart TV, which is ultimately smarter than me.
Because
I can't make it do what I want.
So. I used to consider myself fairly savvy, but now I am very thankful I have kids because there's a lot of stuff that I'm like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I was the gadget guy of the neighborhood. Everybody brought stuff to me 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Today, I got to hand it to a 5-year-old just to see if they can get it to turn on.
You know,
exactly.
I got to tell you a quick story. At the shop where I work on the side, we have my friend's son runs it, and he's in his early 20s. And a woman came in the other day. She had hit someone on the side, and they do body work. I do the mechanical, they do body. And she was very distraught, and she said, boy, I wish I had. She goes, I have a rear view camera, but I wish I had a camera on the side. I would have seen the obstacle. With that, Mike opens the door, jumps in the truck, and with 3 keystrokes, bing, he shows her the side view camera comes on. It's like, how did you know how to do that?
You
gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it's amazing. A buddy of mine has a BMW that has cameras all the way around it, so you actually can see, like, as though there's a camera 30 feet in the air aimed down at his BMW, and you can see all the way around it.
I don't know. I asked him to explain to me how they do that, because it looks like there's a drone above you. It's
right.
Like Chevy has it now, too, and I guess everybody will. I don't know. What are they, beaming it off a satellite? And I don't know.
No, it's actually an interlaced. We built a system like that for aircraft that does the same thing.
It's a composite of various cameras, right?
It's an interlaced about 6-camera array that shoots all of them and then projects it as though it's from above you. The cameras are actually obviously down on the car.
Right.
So it's quite a sophisticated program. Hell, the software to run that would have cost $10 million, you know, 20 years ago.
You know, that's what I was thinking when you mentioned, you know, flying now with this last malady that you've had. I'm thinking you were a jet pilot, you know, for years. Thank God that didn't happen when you were in the air. You know, this
thing. Oh, what just happened to me was the most, and it was uncontrollable. Wow. There was no stopping it. Wow. They had to shove something up in toward my brain to make it stop. It was really bizarre.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
So yeah. let me, if I can, I'm gonna take you guys a little bit away from, not really away from cars, but I'm trying to do something now. Because when we left the show, we received thousands upon thousands of letters. And you know what they say, listen to your fans, not your critics, right?
Cause, right.
You know, there's always going to be a critic, some jackass out there who watched a YouTube video on how to change oil.
Yeah.
He knows more about restoring cars than you knew in like 3 minutes by watching one video, right?
Oh, I love those people, so, yep.
Oh, they're my favorites. And if any of those are listening, and they're probably not, because if they're listening to your show, they're actually getting educated. And we know those morons don't actually do anything except keep their head buried in a PlayStation.
Right.
But, yes.
But yeah, you know, those guys were hard for me to deal with. So when we finished the show, thousands of letters came out asking if we would, you know, consider doing something else. And so I got to tell you, there are two things in the hopper right now. Actually three technically, because we are already shooting with a small production company, creating lots and lots of YouTube content that we have not released yet.
Nice.
We're doing that just for fun. These guys wanted to shoot. We wanted to show a few custom builds that the Discovery Channel wouldn't allow us to show on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are creating some content right now.
That would
but
be
this
great.
Move to Tennessee, this is the other thing that's going on. And I don't want to go into many details of what we're doing there, because the operation is about 10 times the size of Phantomworks.
Oh, wow.
So it's massive. Where Phantomworks was a 2-acre building with, 20, 30, 40 employees and 80 cars, this next operation is much, much bigger than that.
Wow. Can you, Liberty, say where in Tennessee you're looking?
Well, I'll just tell you that it is between Chattanooga and Chattanooga and Knoxville.
Okay. Nice area.
So it's in the eastern Tennessee, and I have a feeling, you know, I tell people when they come to Virginia that God occasionally visits Virginia, but he definitely lives in eastern Tennessee.
Right.
Which is why I wanted to go to eastern Tennessee. Now, I'm not sure. You guys are up in New York?
We are, but I'll tell you something. My wife and I have been thinking of relocating to eastern Tennessee.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
I'll
it
come
is,
see you for a job.
I'm not... Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's God's country.
Yeah,
and you know, if you visit there a few times, you will find out that they are the single nicest human beings that exist left on the planet. So we're looking at this big operation, and I've got a network very interested in shooting, because see, we're going to continue building cars here and there, and what's going to be really interesting is the transition we have to go through to take on this much, much larger operation than we're dealing with now. And so what they want to shoot is a half process, half character driven show about this move to Tennessee. And I'm actually entertaining the conversation. I'm flying out to Los Angeles next week to sit down with a group and discuss, you know, the program.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a fun thing, and it has to be a whole lot less work for me than the show called Phantomworks. But I'm excited about something even bigger than that, and I'm just going to take a minute here to plug it on your show, and that is, for about 5 years, I've been working on something, and of course it's about a car. It's a story about historical fiction, but I've already written two novels. I haven't released either of them yet. I'm waiting till I get the third novel done to release them. But many people who are editors and a test bed audience have read it, and they're convinced it is among the best novels they've ever read. And in terms of the storyline, it is the most complex and amazing storyline they've ever read. So I've got actually three books coming out shortly.
Wow.
Excellent.
No wonder your head's under so much pressure. You got a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Well, Jeez. You know, it's fun. I got to tell you, you see, my dream of building cars. Now go back to your experiences. You guys are car builders, but do you build mostly for yourself, or do you build like commercially for other people?
Both.
Yeah, I mean, okay. What happens is once they find out you could do it, they don't leave you alone.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
When you thought you were out, they keep pulling you back. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, but who is your favorite customer, you or someone else?
Oh, me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
I'm a pain in the butt, but yeah, I could still stand me.
Now, if I could just get someone to pay for me, I'd be in good shape.
Yeah.
See, that's okay. So you've nailed it, right?
Yeah.
If you could just get someone to pay for it. So the reality is we work for customers because that pays the bills. But
right.
Customers are hard, aren't they? They're,
yes.
They
oh,
want
my
things that
God.
Sometimes you, I mean, could I sum it up by saying, many customers' expectations will never be met by anyone short of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up because there's just...
Yeah, you know, and so...
Define the laws of physics.
I deal with that every day.
Yeah.
And I bet you guys... So give me an idea. What percentage of your work is for you versus for customers?
The majority is for customers at this point. Yeah,
these days. Yeah, you got to pay the bills. Got to pay the bills.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Let me tell you about a quick story about a young lady in Florida who owns a car restoration shop. She's owned it for about 20 years. The only female-owned car restoration shop I know of in America.
Wow.
And,
okay.
You know, and I asked her about a year ago. I said, what percentage of your customers, when they come and pick up a car from you, just look at the car, pay the bill, and say, thank you. I love the car. I appreciate it. And don't complain.
Oh.
You know what her answer was?
What's that?
Zero.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
She said it's never happened. Not even one time in 20 years.
You know, I'm just happy when they say, hey, it don't suck. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
We have a thing here. We've termed on the show, Dan. We call it the Sinju syndrome. We talked about it with you last time you were on, where, you know, people, you do a big or a small job on somebody's car, and then you know you may have restored the whole outside and then an engine, transmission, suspension, and then they come out and say, hey, you know, my steering column is scratched ever since I had the car in your shop.
Like, yeah, my radio stations are all wrong.
Yeah, but it came in that way. We're like, well, no, since you had it last. And I'm like, hey, you know, we weren't paid to touch up your steering column.
I ain't gonna need a stinking steering column.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Geez, can't you be happy with the big stuff that you wanted?
Yeah, now the car runs, you know,
and
it doesn't crop dust. Oh no, that's nothing. Yeah, but them scratches on the steering column alert the cops.
You could do 100 things perfect, but the one thing that you didn't do or you don't even know about, that's the thing that you get nailed on, right?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
And by the way, you weren't kidding when you said my radio stations don't play. You know I actually had a customer return a car for that, right?
Wow.
He actually returned it to me, and he said, I don't get the same radio stations anymore. And I said, sir, I am not responsible for the airwaves. And he goes, my radio is not good anymore.
Sir, your taste of music sucks. We just fixed it for you, that's all.
Yeah, it was, So for me, here's the magic of what I'm trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I could figure out, see, I've always been working on this plan. How does Dan Short have a crew of guys that builds nothing but the coolest custom cars in the world for one customer, and that's Dan Short?
Yeah.
Now, I'm probably never going to get there, but as I work on some of these other endeavors, I get just one more little step closer to that. So how would you guys feel if you could figure out someday how to build cars only for yourself? When they say when you're having fun doing, you know, your work, you never work another day in your life.
Oh, yes.
I got to tell you the truth, though. I actually enjoy doing things for other people when they appreciate it, because it gives me a sense of self-worth, and it's like an internal check that, yeah, I guess I can still do it.
Yeah.
So, but like you said,
it reaffirms yourself there.
Yeah, but there's more the ones that screw you and want to just, you know, they have something to say about it that makes it, you know, not so much fun.
Right. But, yeah.
I mean, we're actually in pretty good shape. I tell people that about 70% of our customers just say thanks and take their cars. 20% will find something. It's almost like they feel it's their job to complain about one little detail. You know, because they feel like they have to get one on you, you know, like they're going to prove that they're smarter than you are. Right. And then there's that last 10% that you just want to bury in a shallow grave.
Well, you know, Jen,
I haven't yet. Have you?
Well, not that we can tell you about.
Exactly.
No.
Yeah, you're not supposed to talk about that.
Hey, we're from New York.
Send me a text later. Yeah, send me a text later on and tell me where they are.
Yeah. I'll send you some coordinates. Yeah, okay. But I'll tell you this. You mentioned it.
New Jersey.
Number three. It speaks to the fact, and I know a lot of shops that are now doing this, and I think you do this, you need to get a very comprehensive intake report as well as an exit report, and it's almost you have to have a contract with that customer about the nuts and bolts of what you want and what you're willing to pay for, and that can get amended as we go.
This is what I'm going to do.
Right. Then give me a box
of this, and this. Not that, and that.
Well, then give me a box of cash, and we'll work off of this part, and when we get to 80% of that cash spent, we're going to call you to re-up it.
Yep.
And you send me another box of cash, and we'll do the other stuff you want. Right?
I mean, I don't know about you, but I take bags.
You take bags?
I'll take a bag.
Take a burl. Yeah, I'll take a bag, too. It doesn't have to be a box.
Yeah, a bag of cash would be cool.
That's fine.
Yeah. Hey, 2 weeks ago, I visited my niece and her husband, and they have the largest independent car shop in Maricopa, Arizona. Really nice place. And I got to tell you, I walked into their place. It was quite impressive, very clean, very organized. But I saw a car in the corner of their shop. It was an old Nova. And I'm immediately drawn towards the car because the car was absolutely beautiful. And I walked toward, I said, hey, whoever did the work on this, was a real craftsman. And they admitted that they didn't do the preponderance. They were just asked to make it have more horsepower. But the guy, before he brought it to them, had spent $650,000 on a Nova.
Jeez.
Now, I got to tell you, never once in my life have I ever had anybody come close to offering me $650 for a Nova.
I've never seen. I've never seen a solid gold Nova.
Yeah, you'd think so, right? It was red. So, unfortunately,
ruby.
I couldn't find any gold on the thing. But yeah,
carved out of
it was absolutely. It was breathtaking.
Wow.
But I was gonna say, it was a trunk full of coke.
Yeah. Wow.
No, it was just time. In fact, I'll tell you, just the paint, not the body work, but the paint job alone was $80,000. Just shooting the paint was $80,000.
Jeez.
Now, have you guys ever had a customer come in and offer you a job, anything close to that in your life?
No.
Because,
I haven't either.
Yeah, no, I mean, most people don't have that kind of money.
Usually they come in and say, listen, I need this much, but I only have this much. Can you help me?
Right.
Like, yeah, we'll give you as much as you have, and then you tow your car out of here. And
I mean, maybe there are some places, like, you know, I'm just thinking of maybe people from, like, those places with
Colombia,
other deserts, you know, they got money thrown around all
Dubai.
Over the place. Yeah, so maybe it's possible, but like us regular people, no. I mean, I worked on a Cutlass Sierra during the week at the UD, and it had some running problems. It's like an 87. The guy that owned the car, the guy that I was doing the work for, the owner of the car, spent $13,000 to paint this friggin' thing.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, it was nice, but it's a Cutlass Sierra. Right. What are you, crazy?
Well, I say, hey, to each his own. If you want to put that into a Sierra or a, you know.
Nice paint, though. I mean, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's his choice.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Most people don't have that kind of money to.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, and so let me tell you one of the things that I deal with a lot less as a result of the show going out, and that's the nuts. I get a lot less nuts call me.
Oh, really?
But you
get us. Yeah, because I think the show brought out the kooks in many ways, you know, because, of course, if you're doing a TV show, that means you're making $100 million a month.
Yeah.
Which means you can build free cars for everyone, right?
Right.
So, right. As soon as you own a business, you're rich.
Exactly.
Yes.
You guys are. What do you guys think it's worth? Probably $100 million or so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. At least.
That was last week.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Listen, we're guys that have actually real day jobs, and we do the car stuff kind of as a secondary career.
Mental therapy and like gas money.
And then we do this. So yeah, we're even worse off.
Mm. Yeah. That's right. We almost have to pay them to be on the radio. You know. Hey,
I'm happy to be done with more of the nuts for what it's worth. It's kind of a pleasant break.
That's good for you. It's therapeutic. And, you know, Joe, we have a question from the internet, Joe. Somebody has written in.
Yes. All right. And this guy wants to know that 69 Cheville that you did with the independent rear suspension. How much was that car?
Yeah.
And he's right.
How much was?
He's right near us. He's a local guy to where we are. I see him at local cruise nights all the time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's Nick.
Right.
We called him our septuagenarian.
Right.
You know, I'm not at liberty at this point. I'm not sure what we said on the show. I'm sure we probably talked about it. I don't generally discuss
things like
that, but I will tell you this much for sure. It was definitely not a six-figure car. It was definitely a five-figure car.
Wow,
not bad.
That's excellent.
Well, not bad considering we pumped, you know, 650 pound-feet of torque into an independent rear suspension, brand-new front suspension, transmission wiring. You know, I mean, we turned that car into a supercar. So, I think that was a fairly decent deal, and he got one hell of a car out of it. That Chevelle is the baddest Chevelle in the world, I think.
But the other nice story then is you liked seeing him spend his money so much, you turned around and built your own Camaro, right? You built the sister.
I did.
Yeah.
And
nice.
You know, no one will ride in that car with me.
I will.
In that Camaro.
Well,
why not? But let me tell you. Well, you know, it has no traction control, right?
That's great.
And
you have generally forced traction control.
Yeah. Well, traction control is controlled only by your right foot in the pedal.
That's right.
And there you go. That car will do a burnout at 100 miles an hour.
Oh, that's cool.
Ooh,
that is so great.
I would almost say that's too fast. And I got to tell you, I finally got a customer to agree that too much is too much. A man brought me a Camaro that he had about 700 horsepower. And he said, Dan, I want it to go faster. I said, that's not smart. Right. And he said, I want to have close to 1,000 horsepower. Jeez. We did that for him. And I actually feel sort of guilty about doing it, but he said, nope, I got to have, 1,000 horsepower. So we jammed 1,000 horsepower into a Camaro for this man. And he called me up about a month later, and he said, I'm selling the car.
Yeah.
He said, I had it out at about 150 miles an hour, punched it, lost control. He didn't crash, but it definitely started coming, sideways on him at about 150.
Yeah.
He said, I soiled my pants. I brought it back home, parked it. I won't drive the car again.
I was going to say,
next time I drive it, I'll die.
Well, the thing is, I would have explained to him, you don't have to do 150 and lose control. You could exercise some restraint here and drive it like...
It's called backing the...
Well, a guy like that should have a new Corvette that has traction control and all the other accoutrements
Right.
And that'll drive like a, like a six-cylinder if you choose it to. But, what are you going to do?
Yeah. That's true. But I mean, I will no longer, my limit is now 700 horsepower. Anybody who wants more than that, I just tell them I'm not building your car.
Because
I'll be honest with you, that's a lethal amount of power. And I have not found the driver yet that can handle the power.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the man.
Yeah. No, let's face it. You know, there's a lot of people that do not warrant having that kind of, the skill level. I mean, once you surpass a certain point, which I don't pretend to say that I know the standard off the top of my head, but if you can't handle it, if you don't have a certain skill level, you shouldn't be driving certain cars. Go in that Hyundai over there.
Very correct.
You know, maybe the V6 version.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe the turbo, but no, not this thing, I've seen that happen too many times.
Hang on, you guys, you used a word a few minutes ago, cathartic.
Okay.
Do you find that you get the same thing out of creating something on a car that I do? And that is, there is such an incredible sense of self-worth, that I believe, we were given gifts, and if we use those gifts to create something. Look, not all of us are going to be the world's greatest preachers or the greatest presidents or anything else. But if we can create something with our hands, isn't there an amazing sense of
catharsis, an amazing sense of worth about that.
Some people's a writer, some people are musicians, some people, you know, and some people build cars.
That's always been my thing, and I get it from the smallest little thing. I had just a quick story. I had to make, my daughter bought this geode that she that goes into a, it's a doorknob that goes into her sliding door. But the stem, the shaft that was threaded wasn't long enough because she wanted to use another plate on it. So I had to make it work. So I took a spacer and I drilled it, tapped it for like, you know, for like, it was a 4 millimeter by 0.07 or 0.7, I'm sorry. You know, made an adapter, took a bolt, cut the head off, dressed it, extended it, installed it. You never see it. It's never going to be seen. But to me, I know that thing was a creation. I'd love to just do that all day because that's how you keep sharp that way, I think.
That is my favorite thing to do, is to turn something that doesn't work into something that works. And at the end, even if somebody else doesn't appreciate it, I still had a great time doing it, and I feel pretty good about myself. So I thought when you said that's actually the reason I build things.
Yep.
Is you get a sense of tremendous accomplishment out of taking some old piece of thing and turning it into something magnificent.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. You know, mission accomplished type of thought pattern there, for sure. Because a lot of people just sit there and push papers. I mean, most of my day is pushing paper, answering phone calls, that kind of stuff like that. And then once I get back out into the real world, you know, and get to use my hands mm-hmm. and tools and that kind of stuff, I feel a lot better.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, are you guys by chance? We're doing a Facebook series on a Corvette that I got up right near you guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you get a chance, we've already done about probably I don't know, 8 or 10 segments on it on Facebook.
On the
We do a new segment or two every week. Another very sad story. A man had it for 40 years. He raced the 63 Corvette. And he pretty much, let me tell you, by time the man died, he pretty much had consumed that Corvette almost down to nothing.
Nice.
And there was no good front end on it, no good rear end on it. The floors were crushed. The frame was crushed.
Yeah.
Just not a whole lot left. But in about 5 weeks, we have straightened out the frame. We've started rebuilding it. We've rebuilt most of the ass end of the car. We were rebuilding the front end when we discovered that the car was bent like a banana pointing up.
Wow.
And that's when we discovered the frame was bent almost 4 inches. Guy hit something hard enough.
Duke's a hazard.
I have never seen a frame bent that much.
Oh, wow.
Yeehaw.
So... All right. So we're taking this original old Corvette Fuelie. Now I'm doing something that's heresy. It was a roadster, and we're turning it into a split window coupe. And I mean a legitimate full on split window coupe with the correct doors. And
cool.
You know, you won't be able to tell it was ever a roadster when we're done with it.
Beautiful.
Oh, and your crew. Yeah. Why not?
Excellent.
Yeah, we I've got a guy where I gave him a concept and he's working on it now. We're taking the original fuel injection system from the car and putting an electronic fuel injection inside the old mechanical box under the hood.
Sweet. Mm.
So when this car is done, it'll be an original, you know, original equipped, air conditioned, power steering, power brake, fuel-injected Corvette coupe from 63. So it'll be an amazing car, but just purely a Phantom Works creation.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
Dan, we have to we're going to have to cut you. We're at the end of the show. We got to take care of a little business, and we're going to clear out of here. So
I want to see I'm trying to get the Facebook page up with that because that sounds really cool. Yeah,
well,
that's Phantom Works, right? Tech Capital Left? Well, DRS, Phantom Works.
What's the exact link?
Without the DRS, the page is just phantomworks.com.
Gotcha.
All right. But yeah, hey, guys, as always, it is a pleasure to talk to a couple of real motorheads, car guys. So thank you so much for asking me to come back.
Thank you, sir.
Other than the fact that I'm lying in a gurney upside down, ready to bleed to death, it's been an absolutely amazing phone call.
You're one tough hombre.
Dan, we'll be in touch. We'll get you back on here before the summer's off. We'll pick this up.
After they pull your dipstick and refill you there.
Right.
All right, man.
There you go.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
Hey, happy Father's Day to you and all the guys watching.
Happy Father's Day, Dan. Bye. Stay well. So long.
Yeah, all right. Yep.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Dan Works. Dan from Phantom Works. Yes.
Sitting there bleeding like a stuck pig, and he still wants to talk to us.
And don't forget to listen to Shades of Jazz, Saturdays at 7. Our good friend Greg Bigelow presents cool and sophisticated blend of rare grooves, familiar classics, and the best of today's modern jazz artists. Now, our last break. Joe, get the cowbell because you're leading.
Okay.
We'll be back with more on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday evening at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Very good cowbell work, Joe. Excellent as always.
Thank you.
Yes. Put down a bass and picked up that clangy thing.
Yeah, I like percussion every once in a while. Even that's your, though that usually that's your deal.
You know? Well, but that's all right. You bass guys.
Boy, that hour just was flying, huh?
We didn't have enough time. We will, I promise. I know people love to hear from Dan, as we do. We will get him back on because, see, this is what happens with guests. It's sometimes hard to get them the first time, but usually, and I got to say, this is to our credit, once we do get them on, they usually do return.
Yes.
And they're endeared to the show. So I think we'll have no problem.
Yeah, we made that's definitely we've made another friend there.
Yeah, I think so. And I love what he does. I love the stuff Dan does, and that the shop does some great work and a lot of custom stuff that I'm sure didn't get on TV. But
that's the way they were talking about it. I guess the TV people there didn't think that the general public would appreciate it.
He said some of the stuff they did, the production company did not want to air, and God knows why. You know, who knows? But that's the production company's deal. So
but that's their loss. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll follow up again. So now, Joe, we're going to be in a booking. We're going to be booking again. We're going to have. Actually, 2 weeks we got Elliot Wiener and Dennis Benfante from the T-Bird Club.
All right, that's right.
It's their
always
show again.
Always quite the pair, them two.
Right, and Sam Adavi. We're going to try and get Sam Adavi back in.
Oh, Sam's Garage there, yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sam's Garage TV.
Cool TV show, yeah.
I'm going to reach out to him during the week, see if we can get him for next week.
Okay.
And playing kind of guest tag. You know, the whole thing, we got all screwed up with the remote and with the fundraising stuff. Everything kind of...
Everything just, got sideways there. Yeah,
really.
But that's all right. We're used to being sideways.
Our traction control is always off.
Yes, exactly.
There's no stability control on this show.
Oh, forget about it. At that point, we're just sideways. The button's flipped and...
Over, under, sideways, down.
Yes, and God, thank God the seatbelts are tight.
Yeah, we got to have good diced belts. Yeah, yes. We didn't even get into talking about some of the stuff that you were playing with at the UD.
We've had all kinds of fun there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you guys are listening, but you know what a 9/16 wrench is, right, guys? Okay, good, because otherwise we wouldn't have to.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys only have one over there. That's what I said to Joe before. I'm sure there's only one 9/16 snap-on.
See, that's what happens. Because
now, I wonder if you switch that snap-on wrench for a Matco Mac or a Craftsman, if it would tune the station in the same way.
Yeah, well, I was going to try that as an experiment there, that's something I could do, in the course of science when...
I encourage that.
Yeah, because, while they're in the middle of other stuff, I mean, I sit there and I do little science projects. Look something up, stuff up on the internet, and, I try to figure stuff out scientifically, which sometimes could be a tad annoying, which I'm very sorry, guys. It's just the way my little brain works.
It's, you know what, but you're right, because I tend to think that way, too, and I always go for... you know, what the standard is, or what the, you know, you have to have a baseline of something, and
right.
And science is what gives us that. So
science,
it's science. Yes, I gotta get that clip. I'm gonna have to get a.
I yell that out a lot over there. That when I you know,
do you wear your lab
times,
coat?
You know, I gotta find mine. I do have one someplace, but
well, we'll get a pair of lab coats on and get the heck out of here because Kim's coming in
on the road,
and Joe and I will be back next week with more Motor Mouth Radio.
You've been warned.
You got it on 90.3 WHPC.